Midden FM presents the Glenmidden Chronicles.
The big day has arrived. The Glenmidden has been decked out in all its finery with strips of old Harborough feed bags and fairy lights found in the captain's closet. The Eriskinoys have been kept away from the bar, and Maggie is down in the galley putting the finishing touches to her vegetarian chicken coq au vin. However, the captain seems to be having second thoughts and is having a heart-to-heart with Big Dick, who is helping him get ready for the ceremony.
Captain, you'll have to stand still while I put the safety pin in the back of your trousers to hold them up. I don't want to stick it in you.
Oh, Dick, I don't think even the smallest prick would be felt today. I am numb.
There you are. You look really nice. Better try the jacket on.
Do you think I'm doing the right thing?
Yes, I think you have to wear the jacket to make it look right.
No, I mean, should I be going through with this marriage?
Well, Captain, I think you should. I mean, you're a good catch. If I were her, I'd want to marry you.
You would? Oh, Dick, why are things so hard?
But you're still young. You've got years of happiness in front of you.
Oh, I know. I still keep my youthful looks. It's due to collagen and keeping my bowels regular. People often mistake me for a younger man. How old do you think I am, Dick?
Oh, Captain, I'm not very good at that sort of thing.
Oh, come on. How old do you think I am? Guess.
Oh, about 60?
No, Dick, no joking. Try again.
65.
Lower?
65.
No, I meant lower in age.
58.
No.
55?
No.
50?
No.
36.
Near enough. You see, now you know why I maybe should be keeping myself for the right person. I'm still young and haven't lived my life to the full.
Captain, she's got lots of money.
Oh, well, give me the jacket. I suppose I'm like a lamb to the slaughter.
Captain, Maggie said that every bride should have something old, something borrowed, and something blue for their wedding. So I have got you an old piece of rope that was hanging round the gangplank outside. And for something borrowed, I got you this library book that I should have returned 3 months ago. And for something blue, I've got you this video that Roger lent me last week.
That's very kind of you, Dick. But it's the bride who should be getting all this stuff. However, if you don't mind, I'll hang on to that video just in case.
With the captain having last-minute doubts, this is probably the wrong time for the bride to be turning up on the harbour. However, all is not lost. Scotty and Maggie and some of the other crew members are on hand to greet her.
Scotty, look, here comes the bride. Doesn't she look pretty in the back of that van, all done up with those artificial flowers and those streamers flowing from that big ladder on the roof back?
I dinna ken about that, but what's that man wear?
That's her brother Charles. Don't you remember anything?
No done man, the other one, the one in the white turban.
Oh, I don't know, it must be a friend. You leave it to me. I'll find out with my womanly charms.
Maggie, I'm so excited about today. I'm a bundle of nerves. How's Captain?
He's fine. He's in his cabin preparing for the ceremony. If you like to come with me, I'll take you to the galley, where we can have a little buckfast to calm those nerves. I'll get Scotty to take your friends down to the cafeteria, where we're holding the ceremony. Now tell me, I recognise the lovely Charles, but who's the other one?
Oh, Maggie, that's John Farquhar Singh. That's the best man ever to come into my life.
What's he saying?
The one with the turban is the best man. Take them down to the cafeteria. I'll take her for a drink to steady her nerves.
Gentlemen, if you'd like to follow me.
Not so fast. Gentlemen, I am the purser of the MV Glenmidden, Philip McPocket, and I'm afraid that no one can come on board this ferry without first paying the fare.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Ebenezer, these are friends of the bride, you can't charge them.
I'll be the judge of that. That'll be £10 each for boarding, pay up or miss the wedding.
So, having paid the fare, Scotty takes John Farquhar and Charles down to the reception area, where he sits them on the opposite side of the aisle to the captain, who has calmed himself down enough to make it to his seat. Suddenly, the bridal march is struck up by the Eriskinoys, and the bride makes her entrance.
Oh, Scotty Luke, she's lovely. Oh, I'm going to start bubbling. I get all emotional at weddings. I need a pair of strong manly arms to hold me.
You can have my handkerchief and like it.
Oh, and it's still warm from the heat of your big muscular thighs. I can feel the heat penetrating my cheeks.
Woman, shush, it's about to begin.
Oh, my dear Veronica, you look absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you, Captain. You're looking very nice yourself. I love that sequined suit. It's very kind of you to get all dressed up.
Oh, my pet, of course I'm going to get dressed up for this special occasion. Actually, don't look round now, but there's a man standing to your other side who seems to be lost. Do you think he wants something? He's looking at me in a very strange way.
Oh, I'm sorry. How remiss of me, Captain. This is John Farquhar Singh, my future husband.
Oh, how do you do... What? But I thought you
Captain,
said...
Captain, I'm not really up on these sort of things, but shouldn't you be standing in front of us if you're going to marry me to my groom?
Why, yes, of course. How silly of me. Right, where are we? Ah, yes. Dearly beloved...
I knew it. I kept there was something funny about this.
Is she not getting married after all?
Ah, yes, simple-headed Zook. You got the whole thing wrong. She didn't want to marry the captain. She wanted the captain to marry her to her fiancé. He'll never live this down.
Doomed, I tell ye. Doomed.
Advisedly and solemnly.
Will the captain look on the bright side and see this as an omen? Maybe marriage is not for him. Maggie, on the other hand, sees the opportunity and is cuddling up to Scotty's right leg and won't let go. Big Dick is trying to puzzle out how it all went wrong, and Veronica and John Farquhar are married at last. Where does this leave the crew of the Glenmidden? Tune in next week, same time, as we continue with the Glenmidden Chronicles.
You have been listening to the Glenmidden Chronicles. Voices supplied in no particular order by John Wilson, Nick Wakeham, John Grundy and Shona Campbell. Featuring this week, the voice of Dame Katrina MacLean. The series was devised by John Grundy and written by Nick Wakeham. This has been an Old Mission House production.